Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word says, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, as we come now, we don't want any distractions in our minds from what you want to say. And Lord, may the words of my lips be what you want to say. And may it all be for you, and for your kingdom, and for your honour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
On average, every 2 hours, a follower of Jesus Christ somewhere in the world is martyred for their faith. So reads a quote on Google, but I think it's probably correct. So about the time we came in and about the time we go out, someone has, if you like, laid down their life for Christ. Not just to mention that, but the others around them, the families or others involved in that incident being injured, bereaved or traumatized by that dreadful thing that has just happened. At our monthly prayer meeting for the persecuted church last Thursday evening, using the Open Doors excellent videos, the six of us heard a story of a young Nigerian boy who survived a shooting by Boko Haram, Islamic extremist group in Nigeria. But seven of members of his family, including his father, were killed. He became so angry, bitter, and violent, desperate for revenge. And this was just a young 12, 13-year-old boy. Almost uncontrollable with rage against God and against the killers. Why could God have allowed this to happen to my family? Can you imagine? In God's great mercy, there were some counsellors from Open Doors who have given the gift of trauma counselling, and they prayed and talk to this young boy, and wonderfully, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he broke down and wept, and the Lord revealed, set him free from the anger that had been within him. We also heard the testimony of a teenage girl, probably about 14, in East Africa, who was a member of a family from an Islamic tribe, who had all become Christians and were ostracized in their community. They were rejected by the villagers and the people around them. Their children were not allowed to play with their children. And if they went out, often their crops were damaged by the villagers. One day, one evening, I think it was, when the parents were out and they'd gone to a church gathering somewhere, and out of the blue, this young teenage girl was raped by one of the villagers. She was so traumatized physically and mentally that she lost the will to live. Thankfully, she received help from Open Doors trauma counsellors, recovered, and now uses her difficult experience to help others who have suffered in a similar way. These are precious members of our family in Christ. And as we prayed, as having seen this on the videos, and just acknowledging the horror of these incidents, it dawned upon us that the church needs to know. And we need to know. We need to be awakened at BCC to this need. And to encourage more Christians to unite in prayer and support organisations like Open Doors or Barnabas Fund or Release International or can't remember all of them, but there are many who do an amazing work across the world today. I knew that this was what I was meant to speak on this morning. And since making that decision to speak about this subject, I've had quite a few confirmations out of the blue. On Friday evening, Christine was watching TBN on the television, and as I came in about 9:30, there was a program. Open Doors, pray for persecuted church. They showed a video of a young man from Nigeria who had had a machete attack on his neck, and how the Lord enabled him to endure that pain. He said, "I didn't feel the pain, I just felt God's presence." And now he has a huge scar on his neck. He used to cover it up, but now he says no. It's a testimony to God's grace. And then there was a young man in the studio from Iran who suffered from nightmares and all sorts of things, and he came to know Jesus and knew complete deliverance. But he had to leave Iran for the sake of his own safety and the sake of his family. His family didn't throw him out. He just had to leave for their sake. Saturday morning, I have a lie-in. With Christy, we have a lie-in and a rest. And I normally listen to some sermons by a man called Tim Keller, who I find enormously helpful. And I looked there, and the first one was all about suffering and hope in the midst of suffering. They were so amazingly relevant to this whole subject. This morning when I was finishing my preparation, the phone rang. It was a friend from Leicester who has desperate health issues. He's an old man. He's got pancreatic cancer and a number of other issues in his life. He's struggling with an addiction he's had all his life and cannot break it. "Oh, please pray for me," he said. I had the scriptures right in front of me, which I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 2, if you want to look at them. And I prayed on those lines, and he said, "I've just been reading that scripture." In fact, he shared that. He said, "I've been reading this scripture, and it was exactly the one that I'm going to read to you today." So, church, BCC, God really wants to speak to us about this subject. It's vitally important. So in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 2 to 11, Paul shares a testimony, he and his companions, of what he and his companions experienced. So I'm going to read verses 2 to 11. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And if Paul testifies how important the prayers of others were in their deliverance in a time of persecution and trouble, how important are our prayers? So how can we pray effectively for the persecuted church? Well, our first point must be to focus on the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. So we have to meditate on our Heavenly Father, his amazing love in sending his dear Son to save you, that you can know him and approach his throne confidently as his precious child, and pour out your heart to him. That's so wonderful, isn't it? So wonderful that we have that connection with the creator of the whole universe. I was just thinking of it the other night. Christine and I were sitting in the room just thinking about it. We normally take communion every evening together. We find that a huge blessing. It closes the day. It focuses on his amazing love for us. I thought, isn't this amazing? Here we are in our sitting room, and we're connecting with the creator of the whole universe, and we can call him Father. Now that is absolutely wonderful, amazing, far beyond what we can imagine. And as I've testified, his hand has been so much on this, preparing this message. Who else could have engineered these different coincidences, well, God incidences, that have happened over the last 24 hours? How amazing. Remember the comfort you have received from in your struggles, just as Paul had. When I think back to the time when the Lord wanted me to go to Sri Lanka to raise funds for Open Doors, and you gave me tremendous support, and Christine. But you might remember that during my time of training, I wasn't well, and I was on the point of giving up, and God brought me through it. What a faithful God. What a faithful God. And you know, as you testify of your experiences, and as you've gone through them, you have a great means of encouraging others. Wasn't it a delight to hear our dear sister Jane's story a few weeks ago? How wonderful. After years of struggle, God has stepped in at the right moment, at the right time. Because God has an agenda for all of us. And sometimes he's doing other things before the bit, perhaps the bit we most want. But he says, no, I've got other things to do first. Isn't that wonderful? Because he knows best. We can trust him 100%. What a great God we ask. We have. So as we think about praying for the persecuted church, focus on this amazing God that we have as believers. Remember what he's done for us. How far he's brought us. Down all of the years for some of us. He's stepped in again and again, and we're here. And we're still praising him. Because we've discovered more and more of his greatness and love for us. I spoke to a relative last night on the phone, and he was asking me lots of questions, and I said that the longer I follow Christ, the more wonderful and real and great he is. So we focus on the Father of compassion. Our Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. But secondly, we have to seek to identify with the suffering church. If we are distressed, Paul writes, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance for the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12, if one part suffers, all suffer. If I hurt my ankle, I feel the pain. It distresses my whole body. We are the body of Christ. May the Lord give us that longing that friend shared about. We might have the tears of Christ for the lost, as he does. Paul identifies with the Corinthians in their struggles. He explains that he and his companions' sufferings and the comfort they receive from God are to encourage the Corinthians not to give up in their suffering. And he is confident that they will also receive the same help from the Lord. We heard that. I just read about that dear young woman, that rape victim in East Africa, who now is able to reach out to others who are experiencing similar trauma. She's been there. My Lord, what, how amazing it is, you know, when you see someone like that who's been through so much and have come through, you think, well, there's hope for me, I can get through this too. It's a great comfort, a great encouragement. Your struggles as a Christian may seem insignificant to hers, but they are still very real to you.
Yeah.
And you can help, it can help you to relate to suffering Christians. It can help you to relate to them as you pray. So we're to focus on the Father of compassion. We're to identify with suffering believers. But we're to find out about the sufferings of the persecuted church. We mustn't turn a blind eye to what is happening, because they are our family members. Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." Paul wanted the Corinthians to know how overwhelming his sufferings had been, so that they could learn that total dependence on God was the secret of accessing his mighty power for their deliverance. He wanted them to learn, as they had, that God was able, if they would but depend on him and not to look to their own strength. There's so many testimonies of suffering Christians and how they get through. On Wednesday nights, we have, each month, we have some new different stories. Now I receive them online, but I've got a whole batch of past prayer news, which may be out of date, but they will give you a feel. And understanding, you will hear these testimonies. They may horrify you. Not all, some are very, very tough, others are different, but they will challenge you, but you will be encouraged. It'll make you more of a global Christian. Of course, it's vital that we care for one another as a local church. But we need to be global Christians, because God is working through the church, churches across the world. Churches are growing and expanding in all sorts of unusual places where there is persecution, like Iran. It's a very fast growing church in Iran. In all sorts of other places, we will be encouraged. When we learn more, it will take us out of our thoughts about our issues, because sometimes we can get overwhelmed by what's going on in our lives, and it's good to look outward.
Yeah.
I'd love it if every one of these went. There's a load here. I'll leave them here, but I could put them out next week on the table at the back as well, so you can. You might want to think about whether you want to take one or not, but there's plenty, and if you want to come and grab one now, they're all out of date a bit, but they're all true.
Yes.
And I've got a few bits of publication. This is probably the only one that's up to date, the top 10 persecuted countries. But of course you can get the list of the top 50 from Open Doors. Get informed, be informed. And don't forget, at 9:30 to 10 on TBM on a Friday, there seems to be a program by Open Doors like we saw last night. And of course, you can go on the Open Doors website or Barnabas Fund or Release International. There's many you can look into. But at least look into this even today. Or when you can, don't just ignore it. It may not be something you're particularly called to, but or it may be just come once a month to our prayer meeting and we're more close. The next one's on the 18th of May, third Thursday in May at 7:15. Try and remind you about that another day, but what is your response going to be? So we focus on the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We seek to identify with the suffering church. We find out about their sufferings. But finally, believe that your prayers are effective. Your prayers make a difference. Paul goes on. God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. He will continue, and he's got you in mind as well in your struggles, as you and one another help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And God is working through his church. The church in North Korea, the worst place on earth to be a Christian, the hardest place, the church is still moving and working and growing. Paul testifies to their miraculous deliverance, but the battle continues, and he encourages the Corinthians to continue in their prayers for the situation. And the answer to their prayers of many brings great thanksgiving and praise to God. Can you imagine the change in history if Paul had been martyred on that occasion? Well, we can't really work that one out, but of course we know God would have raised up someone else, but I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad that Paul survived. And it's been amazing, isn't it? And answers to our prayers bring great glory to God. Amen. Great glory to God, which is what it really is all about.
Yes.
One more little thing I just wanted to read from here. This little book is called Prayer, the Real Battle. This is a quotation from Andrew Murray, a famous person from South Africa years ago. Who can say what power a church could develop and exercise if it gave itself to the work of prayer day and night for the coming of the kingdom, for God's power on his servants and his word, for the glorifying of God in the salvation of souls? That's a real encouragement for prayer, isn't it? Who can say what power a church could develop and exercise if it gave itself to the work of prayer day and night for the coming of the kingdom, for God's power on his servants and his word, for the glorifying of God and the salvation of souls? Never underestimate the power of prayer. Focus on the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Remember what he's done in your life. Remember how he's brought you through to this moment. He's not going to fail you now. Keep your eyes on him. Identify with the suffering church. When people suffer persecuting in this country, like our dear sister Jackie, painful persecution right here, and it's all set to get worse right here in the UK. Find out about the sufferings of those who really go through the mill, and believe that your prayers make a difference.